Hi everybody, this is Kiki and I want to welcome you to the audio course entitled Finding Your Voice as You Advocate for Your Child. Now this course may be a little challenging for you or it may not be, but oftentimes when we talk about your voice or losing your voice or advocacy, sometimes it can be a little bit challenging because we don't really know what that means sometimes, what it truly means, and we sometimes don't know how to do it or do it effectively. But the other couple of reasons why this topic area can sometimes be challenging is, number one, your voice is such a huge part of you and your identity. So when you lose it, in many ways you may feel like you've lost yourself or you're losing yourself. And the second reason is once you've lost it, lost your voice, it can feel almost impossible to get it back. It can feel very difficult. But I'm here today to say you can get it back, you will get it back, and that's going to be our goal today, to really help you move in the direction towards truly finding your voice, understanding what voice is, and being able to use it in a way that causes you to be the best advocate you can possibly be for yourself and for your child. Okay? So let's get started. What exactly is voice? What is it? What does it mean? I think it's one of those words that we don't really define much, but we use often. Well, in the simplest form, voice is the sound uttered through the mouth by humans to talk, to shout, to sing, etc. But your voice, especially your voice as a preemie or special needs parent, I feel goes way beyond this basic definition of sound and encompasses three components that I believe are essential to your parenting journey. These components are, number one, identity. Your voice identifies you. Its tone, its cadence, its inflection. Let people know that it's you who's speaking, even if they're not looking at you. Take our conversation now, this audio course. You're listening to the sound of my voice, and hopefully through it, you're learning more about who I am, learning more about my personality, my identity, learning more about me. This identification element of voice is instinctive. It's almost visceral, because even at birth, a baby knows his mother's voice, and a mother can quickly pick out or identify her baby's cry amongst a room full of other babies crying. My son, who's legally blind, can recognize my voice in a crowded room of many people talking, even if I think I'm whispering. Emphasis on think, because my husband often tells me that I can't whisper, that I talk very loudly. So I'm trying to work on that. So that's the first component, identity. Your voice identifies you. The second one is communication. Your voice is how you communicate. It helps you to really connect with your world in a meaningful way and to make your needs known. The beauty of voice and communication is that you can use it to communicate without even making a single sound. And this is why I say that these components, I feel particularly for you as a parent, go beyond just the basic definition of what voice is. You can communicate with your eyes, your body movements, your posture, your gestures, etc. The sound of words are not the only way that we can get our message across. Even people who are deaf or hearing impaired, they don't use sound, but they still very much have a voice, and they still communicate. So that's the second, component. The third component is power. Your voice is your power, and if used properly, it can affect real positive change in your child's life. And really, isn't that what power is? It's really the ability to control or influence something or someone to affect change. So if you look at it this way, you can see how important your voice is to advocating for your child. It's your change agent. It's your powerful change agent. Because nobody else on your child's team is the expert on your child more than you are. And no one can really affect the type of change that only you can. as a parent. We're going to be talking a little bit later about the whole concept of expert parenting and you as an expert. But for now, let's get back to the components. With the power part of your voice, it's crucial that you don't minimize your expertise or your knowledge that you have about your child. So those three things, those three components, identity, communication, and power, they're huge. But I feel, unfortunately, all too often, many of us, myself included, minimize these components. And in doing so, we silence our voices. In both my own parenting journey and my professional experience of working with other parents, I found that time and time and time again, we as parents give up or just give away our power as parents because we're silent. But most times, I really don't think we're doing this consciously or intentionally. I truly, truly believe that we simply have become a product of our situation. And by that I mean, as preemie and special needs parents, we've just become so accustomed to hearing everyone else's voices. The doctors, the nurses, the social workers, the therapists, the teachers, the specialists, our family members, everyone's voices, everybody else's voices, except our own. We don't even know sometimes that we have a voice. We've forgotten that we have a voice, let alone use it. So the other part of voice is the advocacy bit, which basically means to make your needs known. And in this case, it's really looking at how you're using your voice to make your needs known. So it goes kind of beyond, well, not goes beyond, but it encompasses not only the words that you're using, but how you're using those words. So if, for example, you come to your child service provider or your child's school, and you're very angry about something, and rightly so, you may have a valid reason for being angry. But if you're using your voice to tell them how much you don't like them and how much you don't like their services, I'm pretty sure you're not going to get very far as it relates to ensuring positive change occurs for your child. But on the flip side, if you come to them, you could still be angry inside, but you come to them very calmly, but firmly and assertively, and you state your concerns, what you want to share with them, and even maybe provide some suggestions for them as a team, I'm pretty sure you will get a lot further. So you see how voice, I'm hoping that the picture of how voice and advocacy, how they interlink and how they work together, if you use them together, you can really affect change and you can really make some things happen for the better. So let's think about your voice, your own voice, and how do you use your voice? So I want you to think about and jot down three times when you didn't use your voice, when you were perhaps silent about something that you really wanted and needed to say or speak up about. So think about that. What was happening? I want you to write down three times when you didn't use your voice. Three times when you did not use your voice. I'm going to give you a moment to jot that down. Okay, and then now I would like for you to think of three times when you did use your voice. Three times when you did use your voice. Take a moment to jot that down as well. Okay, and if you didn't get to write three times, that's perfectly fine. If you just wrote one, that's great. Because really what we want to look at now is, what is the key difference between those two scenarios for you when you were using your voice and when you didn't use your voice? What was the key difference you feel? Think about that for a second. Okay. And if you can, just jot down whatever comes to your mind with these two questions. So if you, what is this difference that you notice between the two scenarios? What is this difference telling you or teaching you about yourself? Key difference that you picked up between those two scenarios, what is that difference telling you or teaching you about yourself? And the second question is, what is one way that you can apply that learning, that new learning that you just figured out with that difference, based off of the difference, the key difference, sorry, and how can you apply it to your current journey of finding your own voice? Let me repeat that because I may have come across as sounding a little bit confusing as I'm listening to myself speak. The second question was, what is one way you can apply that new learning to your current journey of finding your voice? Okay, what is one way that you can apply the new learning to your current journey of finding your new voice? And that new learning was what you learned about the key difference in those scenarios that we talked about earlier, what you, when you used your voice and when you didn't use your voice. So I'll let you take a moment to jot down what comes to mind for you. Okay. And I have to just pause here and say that if anything I say doesn't make sense or it's confusing or you have a question about it, please, please feel free to drop me an email. I respond within 24 hours or less, and if we need to set up a time to speak over the phone, we would gladly, I would gladly organize that and get that done, because my whole goal is to make sure that these things make sense for you and you can actually use them. You can use them in your parenting journey. I don't want it to be something that you hear and then don't use, or it just goes away. Okay. So back to what we were discussing. So we talked about, you know, how to use your voice, and we discussed a little bit about voice and advocacy. But now, how can you start using your voice to affect change, positive change for your child? How do you even get started on that? And one tip that I want to share with you is this. Warm up your voice. Warm it up. Singers, actors, public speakers, they all do this all the time. They don't take the stage without a warm-up, some sort of warm-up of their voices beforehand, because they realize that this warm-up phase is essential preparation for them to use their voices effectively. If they don't warm up, they will sound off. They just won't sound well. Their voices may crack a little bit, and they won't have a good performance. And as parents, we have to warm up, too. It's the same thing with us. If we don't warm up our voices, we won't do well either. We may get to the IEP meeting and feel completely lost. Or we may go to our child's next doctor or therapist appointment and not remember what we wanted to ask them or talk to them about, even though we felt like it was important. So one simple tool or tip and way for you to warm up your voice as a parent is, write it down. Write it down beforehand. Write down what you want to say beforehand. Simple as that. It's simple, but it works. There's so much research now that shows that writing things down not only helps you to remember, but it also helps you to focus, really focus and concentrate. And you're also doing the writing most times because you're not doing it in the moment, like when you're actually at the office or at the meeting, you're taking time to prepare. You're in a calmer environment, and you can really think about what it is you need to say, how you want to use your voice. So warming up is important to prepare, so you can prepare to use your voice in the most effective way. So let's take a moment to warm up your voice, and we're going to do this exercise. on your paper, I would like for you to write down at least three things you want to ask, share, or something you have concerns about that you want to talk to your child's teacher, doctor, specialist, or whomever. Again, write down on your paper at least three things you want to ask, share, or have concerns about to your child's teacher, doctor, specialist, whomever. The point really is to get your thoughts out of your head and onto paper. So take a moment to do that. Write down three things you want to ask. Okay? If you didn't get all three things, that's fine. Now I would like for you to read what you've written out loud. Read those things that you've written, things you want to ask. Read them out loud. Hear how they sound. Hear what you're saying. Is it what you want to say? Is it how you want to say it? Is there anything missing or something you want to take out? Maybe you just want to tweak it a little bit. And to kind of stretch yourself a little bit more, if you can and if you want to do this, practice warming up your voice on someone else by reading out loud to them what you've written and get their feedback. Okay, so it's two parts of that tip. One is writing down, of that warm-up tip. One is writing down what you want to say or ask or share beforehand. And the second is reading out loud to yourself or to someone else what you've written. And just see how that sounds, how your voice sounds, and whether or not you need to make any changes or not. Okay, so now that you're all warmed up, your voice is all warmed up, I want us to continue to along this path by exploring two strategies for you to really start using your voice more powerfully and effectively. Now, I need to pause it for a second and remind you that on all of my audio courses and for many things that I do, I tend to make up names for the strategies that I use. These are not formal names. These are just names I came up with because I'm not very creative. But really the name of the strategy is not important. It's really understanding the concept of what I'm wanting you to do. So the first strategy, I've entitled it the what, when, where, how, and who strategy. I'll repeat. What, when, where, how, and who strategy. And this may be a little bit self-explanatory, but it's really about getting you to consider the specifics about your voice and how you're using it to advocate for your child. And it's really more brainstorming, but it's useful to help you begin to fine-tune your voice and to gain clarity about some of the particulars of what you want and need to say. So let's take a moment to do this. On a piece of paper, I would like for you to label it at the top, my voice, preferably in all capital letters. My voice. And then I would like for you to jot the answers underneath the my voice. Jot the answers to the following questions. There are five questions. What do you want to say? What do you want to say? When do you want to say it? Where do you want to say it? And I'm going to go over these again if you're missing them. That's okay. How do you want to say it? And that's the advocacy piece we talked about. And lastly, who do you want to say it to? So I'll go back over those. I want you to write the answers to these questions. What do you want to say? Is it a question? Is it a comment? Is it a suggestion? What do you want to say? The second part is, when do you want to say it? Do you need to say it now? Do you need to say it next week at the next IEP meeting, at the next parent-teacher conference? When do you want to say it? Where do you want to say it? Do you need to say it in email, over the phone, you know, in the room, in their office? And how do you want to say it? Now, the how can also sort of be tied into the where, in the sense of, you know, do you need to say it in the room or the office, like the physical place? But it goes a little bit beyond that, because it also looks at your tone. How do you want to come across? Do you want to come across as someone who's very divisive and you're very angry and you want to let them know that you are the parent and you're in charge? Or do you want to come across as being very assertive, but also being able to share and work together as a team? Or do you want to be somewhere in the middle? You know, what feels right for you? Because there are times when your voice has to show the anger, depending on what the situation is. So I'm not knocking not being angry. I'm just saying being very in tune to that and knowing that you are, and finding a way to actually use that anger effectively, again, to effect change. So how do you want to say it? How do you want to show up and present yourself? And the last part is, who do you want to say it to? Do you want to say it to the whole team? Does it need to be the whole team? Does it need to be one or two members of the whole team? Does it need to be your family members? Who do you need to say whatever you need to say to? So last time, what do you want to say? When do you want to say it? Where do you want to say it? How do you want to say it? And lastly, who do you want to say it to? And I just want you to take a moment to jot some things down, your answers to those questions. And if you don't finish them, that's fine. You can, after the course is over, you can go back and really take time to answer them. But I'll give you a few seconds to just begin that process of answering those questions. So when you look back over what you've just written, is there anything there that surprises you? That maybe you found out about yourself that you didn't know? And if you found any surprises or any aha moments, jot that down as well, because anytime you have any kind of new learning, it's so important to latch on to that new learning and to begin to use it. Okay, so that's the first strategy. And the second strategy is what I call expert parent strategy, and I mentioned it earlier in the course. This is really one of my favorites to share with parents, because it's so empowering. And we don't really realize how empowering it is until we actually start using it. This strategy can be done with the who, what, when strategy before that we just talked about, or it can stand alone. But what I want you to really get, if you don't get anything else from this course, I want you to go away with this concept, this expert parent concept. And I always say this: you are the expert of your child, and the doctor or therapy or whatever the professional is the expert in their particular domain. But together, emphasize together, you have to decide what's best for your child. You come up with, as a team, what's best for your child. I'll say that again. You are the expert of your child, and the professional is expert within their particular domain. But together, you have to decide what's best for your child. I can't stress this enough, because so many times parents have come to me, and I've witnessed it myself, where particularly this happens. It happens in many settings, but I see it a lot happening within the school setting during IEPs, in the sense, the individual education plan meetings. When you will go in, and parents have told me they go in, and the services have already been decided, the hours have already been decided, everything has already been decided, and they're just told to sign. Never, ever, ever, ever sign an IEP that you have not played an active role in, that your voice has not been in there. As a parent, you are a team player, and a key one at that. and your voice must be heard on that team. Otherwise, your child's needs really won't be met effectively. And that voice, that expert parenting that you have, the skill that only you can bring, that goes across all areas, in the hospital, in the therapy room, in at school. It doesn't really matter. Your voice, what you know about your child that no one else knows, is essential. And a lot of times, you're with your child 24/7. You know more about them than anyone. What you know, the things that may be a little bit more subtle to other people, they don't really understand it. So we're going to try to delve into the your expert parenting right now. On your paper, I want you to draw, preferably on a separate piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. So on your paper, draw a line down the middle. And on the top left, I want you to write the words, "What I know." Excuse me. On the top left, write, "What I know." And the top right, I want you to write the words, "What I offer." So on the left side, "What I know." And on the right side, "What I offer." Now I want you to write on the left-hand side, write down everything you know about your child, their strengths, their challenges, what makes them tick, what makes them laugh, what makes them motivated, what makes them overwhelmed. Just take a moment to write that down, whatever comes up. And this is so important because so many times, particularly if your child has any kind of delays or any kind of additional needs, just as a system, an educational system, a medical system, a therapeutic system, we're always looking at what they're not doing, their deficits. But when you start presenting what you know about your child, they become more than the diagnoses. They become a person. They're a person. And you, because you're presenting information, you become their advocate. You're painting this very real and very accurate picture that no one else can see. They don't have that same perspective. And you're painting it from a point of surplus. You're saying what you know. These are the things that make it work for my child. These are the things that need to be in place or need to be considered, whatever it may be. Okay, on the second column, it's really about discovering ways and how you can best support your child's team. So in the second part, under what you offer, I want you to just jot down things that you can offer. So tips that you know work, suggestions, questions that you have, resources that you know about, anything and everything. And we don't think that we have that. But word of mouth, through what you know, through what you've actually learned about in just parenting, all those are valid and valuable resources to the team. I remember with my son, I was just researching some things around apps. iPad apps for, or computer apps, sorry, for children who are blind and visually impaired, and came across this website, well, a few websites, and at one of the meetings with his vision teacher and his general education teacher, we were talking about math, and there was a math app for children who are visually impaired that uses the voice over an iPad to help them know where to touch, where the things were, sorry, on the iPad. And they had never heard of it. The vision teacher had never heard of that. And it was a really great aha moment for me because I think for so long I had been sort of assuming, you know, that as the professionals they knew, you know, much more than I knew. And they had a lot of answers and they had pretty much all the resources. But in that moment I realized, no, hey, I have something to offer as well. And I was able to share with them this new application that they'd never heard about, that was going to help them be able to interact with him better and be able to teach him math in a different way because they had another resource. So never underestimate the information that you know and the things you know about that would benefit your child. So those two things, what I offer and what I know, those are key to really solidifying your role as an expert parent. Okay, that's it for this audio course. I really hope it was helpful, but I want to do a recap. We really talked about voice, what voice is, and the components of voice around, you know, that it it's a tool for communication, but also it's your identity and it gives you power. And we talked about ways of how to use your voice effectively, about the importance of warming up your voice, you know, by jotting things down beforehand so you can be really clear about and prepared, clear about what you want to say and prepared to say it when you need to say it. And then we ended up our time together just really looking at some more strategies around how can we start fine-tuning your voice to so that you can use it effectively. And we really looked at where and how and when you want to use your voice and this whole idea of expert parenting and how you are the expert of your child and that to not underestimate not underestimate your expertise. So I hope this course was helpful for you. I hope these strategies were helpful for you and you were able to pause and start considering your own voice and how you can start using it in a much more proactive and effective way. As always, again, if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. I'm here for you. I want to help you become empowered using your voice and empowered in any way possible as a parent. So until next time, I want you to take care, and I will speak to you soon. Bye-bye.